Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Today, we live in a time of trouble and difficulty, a time of war and rumors of war and sin. Let's come back here to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and let's see the kind of world that we live in, and let's ask the question, Lord, how do I find you? Or Lord, where are you? God knows you're here. God understands your problems and difficulties, because a lot of people think that God is way, way off somewhere up in the third heaven, and who knows where he is, and how does he know anything about us? But Jesus said, fear not. For all the hairs of your head are numbered. And God loves you. God gave his son Jesus Christ for you to pay for your sins. And many people kind of have that understanding in their minds, but they don't know how to seek God. They don't know where God is. They don't know how God is going to answer them, especially when they look out in the world and see what they're seeing. Now here in Matthew 24, Jesus tells us what the circumstances are. And today, when you really understand Matthew 24, you realize Matthew 24 was made for today in the end times. Because all of these things are just like the headlines that we see in the paper. Wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, sin, evil, earthquakes, destruction, mass catastrophes that are happening, revolutions and things like this. Let's see one of the major things that takes place in which we're living in. And you look out and you look at the world, and a lot of people go to church and they think, well, after they're there a while, they say, well, these people are not very much different than the ones in the world. I come here to find out about God, and I find they're fighting, they're warring, they're bickering, there's strife, there's contention, there's politics. Where's God? They preach the love of God, but where is the love of God? And how do I find God? A lot of people are doing what is called church hopping. Go to this church, go to that church to try and find the truth. Try and find some place where they're really teaching the Bible. And in 99% of the churches, they don't find it. So that's why we have church at home. So in your home, you can set aside everything. You can turn off all the outside interference. You can get away from all of the things that are kind of pressing down on you in your daily living. You can open your Bible. You can begin to study it. You have a place where you can pray. You have a place where you can seek God. Right in your own home. Because as I said before, the truth of the matter is this. God is as near to you as your knees are to the floor. Now let's look what it says here in Matthew 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. That's what we see. Sin, lawlessness. Things that are absolutely contrary to the word of God. And you wonder, is God way off? Where is God? How do I find him? Let's come back here to Psalm 10, the 10th Psalm. And this is not the only time that people have felt that way. Do you feel like the world is so overwhelmed with evil and things? How can there be a God? How can God allow this to be? Well, the answers are right in the Bible. Rather than question God and not seek out the answer, go to the Bible and you will understand. And one of the reasons why there are billions and billions of Bibles in the world is so that every human being can have the answers to their questions, and that if they would, they could seek God, because the Word of God tells us how to do it. And for those who don't, and have the word of God, the word of God is a witness and a judgment against them because they won't change. So do you want to know where God is? How to find God? Maybe you feel just like this. Psalm 10 and verse 1. Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You have troubles, you have difficulties. There are a lot of it today. Many people are unemployed. Many people are losing their homes. Many people don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, how they're going to live, where their next meal is coming from. And times are getting rather desperate. And those who are not in those conditions have problems and difficulties within their lives. Adultery, fornication, drugs, rebellious children, divorcing husbands and wives, and everything is just seems to be in an upside-down mess. So how do I find God? Now notice, verse 2, the wicked in his pride pursues the poor. Let them be taken in their own schemes that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, but despises the Lord. And isn't that true? We have more atheists and we have more agnostics. And one of the reasons that we do is because the Christianity of this world is insipid and without God. And is falling apart by the millions of people every year because they don't teach the Word of God. They don't help people find God. And when they do help them to find God, they begin. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you want your sins forgiven? Yes. Do you accept Jesus as your Savior? Yes. You're saved, brother. You don't have to keep the commandments. Those have been all done away. So it's just like this advertisement that you see on television, where this man has a bicycle and he gives it to the little girl, and she didn't see that on the floor was a box. And she starts to ride it, and the man reaches down and says, "Oh, no, you can't go any further. You can't ride it outside of this box." So it's just like people who try to come to God in the churches of this world today, and they're told all you have to do is believe and everything's fine, once saved, always saved. And they just get that over and over and over again. Another way you can draw the analogy is this way. You're in a race. You get down. You get in a position to start. They say, ready, set, bang, off goes the gun, and you start running. And all of a sudden, a wall comes right up in front of you. And you say, "What's this?" And someone comes out and says, "That's all the further you need to go. Once saved, always saved," which is totally contrary to the scriptures. So if you've had an experience like that, and you see all the wickedness going on around, maybe you feel like this next psalm, Psalm 12. This is what we are seeing out there. And we wonder, where is God? Verse 1, Psalm 12, "Help, O Lord!" Feel that way sometimes? The only thing you can do is say, "Help, O Lord, what on earth is going on? For the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of Israel. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak." Not talking about our society today? Who can you believe? Who can you trust? And the worst thing that can happen is this. That you go to a church that is supposed to be Christian, and from the pulpit you hear nothing but lies and fairy tales, nothing having to do with the reality of living in a horrible world, and how do you find God? Well, that's why church at home, so you can find God. Now, you have to seek him. Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and you shall receive." Now, the force of the Greek is that seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, and you shall receive. But what do you have to do in seeking God? Is God going to accept you just the way you are? You know, in many revivals, they have the sawdust trail coming, you know, right down the aisle. After services, they say, "Anyone want to give their heart to the Lord? Please come forward," and they play this nice music. just as I am. And you come down, and it's very emotional and sobbing and everything. This is the way that Billy Graham used to run his campaigns. And then they'd get down there, and they'd pray for them and said, well, go home and find a church of your choice. They get to the starting line, and the wall comes up. They go no further. What does God say? How do you seek God? Because you can. God says he's a God who is near, not a God that is far off. Yet because of sin, what do people do? Is not God far off to them? Yes, God is far off from the sinner. There are people who are religious hobbyists, but they don't know God. How do we find God? Well, God gives us the directions. Let's come here to Isaiah 55. He tells us specifically how to find God. Now, let's see the instructions. Let's follow this through step by step, and we're going to see that this is also New Testament teaching or doctrine on how to seek God. Isaiah 55 in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, this is also telling us something else, that if you don't take advantage of the time in seeking the Lord now, you may not find him later when you're in worse trouble than you are, or your life is in more shambles than it really was when you thought about seeking God, but you put it off, and you put it off, and you let the circumstances in your life multiply, and the troubles and difficulties overwhelm you. Are you having a problem with sex? Are you having a problem with drugs? Are you having a problem with your husband and wife and your children? Are you having troubles at work and your life is in turmoil? Well, you need to seek God. You need to seek his help. You need to seek his intervention. And here it tells us in Isaiah 55 and how to do it. While he is near. He is near. As near, as I said, as getting on your knees in a quiet, private place, and you have a good heart-to-heart talk with God concerning your own life, concerning your own troubles. But here's what you have to do. You need to understand this, and most people don't get this. No one comes to God on their terms. Every one of us come to God on his terms. Now, here are God's terms, right here. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. You've got to stop breaking the commandments of God and forsake it. Not just modify it a little bit, not just tweak it a little bit, forsake it, cut it off, turn it off, get rid of it. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. See, there's got to be a change of thinking. You've got to quit thinking about yourself. You've got to quit thinking about your schemes. You've got to quit thinking about running your life your own way, which has gotten you into trouble, because the proverb says there's a way that seems right to a man or woman, and the ends thereof are the ways of death, and misery and destruction in between. So have you been running your life the way that you think is best? God has given you that choice. But God also says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But he says, choose life, that you may live. And you find the words of life right here in the Bible. You find the solutions to your problems right here in the Bible. You find God by seeking His Word and then in prayer, and we will see repentance. Now, a lot of people are used to the term penance, which is a perversion of the word repentance. Penance means you do some sort of works like Hail Mary, Our Fathers, and things like that. You afflict yourself. Some have penance where they even whip their backs to so they can join the suffering of Jesus. That's ungodly. God doesn't want that. He wants a broken heart. He wants repentance from the heart and repentance of breaking the laws and commandments of God, repentance of going your own way. If you want to seek God, you seek Him His way, you see. Notice, let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Yes, throw yourself upon the mercy of God. You know your sins. You know what you have done. John, the apostle, wrote in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what man is there that has not sinned? And the reason that you have so much trouble and difficulty and need to find the Lord and need to seek Him is because you have been living your life contrary to the Word of God. So here's the solution. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now here is the change. You must begin to put the Word of God into your mind and into your heart so that that's the way you begin to think, and that's the way that you begin to regulate your life. That's why you need to start with the Ten Commandments. Not your idea of them, not a church's idea of them, but what God says. And furthermore, you can start, if you are really serious about it, you can start by keeping the seventh-day Sabbath called Saturday today, and that is not Judaism. That's the Sabbath of God. And if you do that, and on that day, like I talked to a man recently who was seeking God, he said he reading through the Bible, he understood that the Sabbath day was the day to keep. He started keeping it, and what he did was he would study the Bible on the Sabbath. Come Friday night, he'd shut off the television, he'd turn off all the things of the world, he would get out his Bible, devote himself to it, and then all day Sabbath he would read and study the Bible, and you know what? He's finding God. Now that's what you need to do. That's how you forsake your thoughts, because you see, when you read the Bible, whose thoughts are you inculcating into your mind? The thoughts of God. Notice, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. No, you've got to change your way of thinking. You've got to forsake the evil in your life. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. That's why you can't come to God on your terms. You come to God on His terms. Let's come to Isaiah 66 and let's see this. A lot of men want to do a lot of great work for God. But God wants to do a great work for you. A lot of men want to do work so that they can be saved. God wants to do a work in you so you will be saved. Isaiah 66. Let's see what God says. Verse 1, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house that you build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Now look at the example of Solomon, blessed of God. God had him build a temple. But what happened? He turned his back on God and went so pagan that he had 300 wives and 700 concubines and built temples to all of the foreign gods all around. Now, in Jerusalem, here was the temple of God. Then there's a valley right across on the west side. Then there was a hill over here. And that became known as the Mount of Abominations, because that's where Solomon built temples for all the foreign gods of his wives that he married. So it's not a temple. It's not a building. It's not a cathedral. Notice, where then is a house you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and these things came to be, says the Lord. God made it all. So whatever you take to build for God in the way of a building or whatever, God has already made that. Of what value is it to God? None. Because he wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants you to be converted. He wants you to love him. He wants you to receive his love. He wants to help you to find a way out of your troubles and circumstances if you come to him, if you repent to him. That's how you seek God. You want God to help you? You want God to rescue you? You want to understand your circumstances and how to get out of them? Do you want God to open a door so you can have a way out of them? God says he will. Here's what you do. But to this one will I look, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Do you love God? Do you believe the words of God? Do you understand what Jesus wants you to do? You've got to seek God while he may be found. Christ is there to help you. Let's come here to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and let's see the first thing that Jesus said when he began his ministry in Galilee after that John the Baptist was put in jail. Here's what you need to do. You've got to forsake your thoughts. You have to forsake your ways. You have to seek the Lord. You have to seek his word. You have to put it in your mind, and you have to repent that your heart and your mind may be changed by the Spirit of God. Now, verse 14, after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the kingdom of God and saying, "The time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And that is the truth of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the gospel has to do with this. Let's see what happened when those, after they had killed Jesus Christ and hung him on the cross and were standing there saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Now, you haven't been there, you haven't done that. But notice what happened when Peter preached to them that they had killed Christ, that they were responsible because of their sins, though God had predetermined that this would be. What did they do? This also tells you what you need to do. Acts, the second chapter, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know." Now, you put your name there in place of house of Israel. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And in the book of Luke, we find this recorded, that while Jesus was hanging on the cross dying, and the priests were out there sneering and jeering at him, the soldiers were casting lots upon his garments, that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That can apply to your life. You seek God, you confess your sins. Then notice what Peter said. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, stop, turn, go the other way. Stop your sinning, stop what you are doing, and start going God's way. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit.'" Well, that's the place to begin. You begin in your home. That's why Church at Home, we want to help you come to this. You need to study the Word of God to know the thoughts of God, Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to understand that, and that will help you. Ask God to lead you in repentance. Draw near to God. Cry out to Him just like the Psalms. Oh, Lord, help! He will help you. You can confess your sins. He will forgive. Yes, you may have many tears. Yes, you may be very brokenhearted. Yes, when you see your life in the light of the Word of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you may come to really complete and total repentance. That's what God wants, and that is the start. Then after that, there has to be real repentance and real baptism so that you can be in covenant with God. Now, we'll have more on how to seek God and how does God look at us and how does God help us. But this is a start. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek the Lord while He is near. So this is why you need to have your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to understand your Bible. Now, if you want a Bible that you can really know, that is easy to read, and one that is trustworthy in translation, just go to the click-through on restoring the original Bible. There you will find how to get a Bible that really teaches the Word of God, Old and New Testament. It is not denominational. It is not political. It is just scriptural truth. And that's what you want and need in your life. So that's how you begin to seek God. Well, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And so until next time, so long, everyone.